great. Tonight I wanted to do a teaching. I'm going to entitle it Hungry for More or Hungry for Breakthrough in Relationship to Healing. So just if you're tracking with me, Hungry for More. So why did I get interested in this topic this week? There is a group of guys that I've been kind of mentoring from a distance. We have a little bit of a WhatsApp group together, which we call Miracles Are Us. But anyway, these are some guys that just want to see more healing, want to see more of the miraculous in their lives, and they've asked me, hey, you know, we'd love to just be able to pick your brain, and I've had interaction with these guys in different ways. One of them actually, a couple of them were here, and they're in another country now, and one of them this week, he asked a question into the group, and really tonight what I want to do is I want to answer that question, because he asked the question, so how can we advance in the whole area of healing? So, you know, I'll tell you a little bit of his story, but he just wants to know, how can we keep going forward when it comes to the whole area of seeing healing? And, you know, I was thinking about this. I answered his question actually in a bunch of, I did a bunch of voice messages just and gave like a bunch of points really answering that question. But then I was thinking, how can I bring that to our group and kind of, you know, formulate it a little bit. I thought through it a little bit more. And tonight, I'm going to share some of that with you guys. And so for some of you, it will be like a review. For others, I think some of these things will be new. And so let me just say that I think before we get to the question of how can we advance in healing, I think there's a couple of stages that we kind of have to go through as Christians. The first stage that many of us had to go through, or maybe some of you still have to go through, is that you really have to believe that healing is normal. There's a lot of Christians that don't believe it's normal. They believe that healing is something incredibly rare. They believe it's only for very special people, possibly in some circles. Some circles believe that basically, even though God might still heal from time to time, that God kind of stopped healing when the apostles died. So I would say that before we can even get to the question of how do we advance in healing, you really have to believe that it's normal. And it's not just normal for super spiritual people. Because, you know, you get in certain circles. I mean, when I've ministered in Lebanon in Catholic circles, sometimes their perspective is healing is possible, but it's only for super spiritual people like monks and nuns, and bishops and priests. But the normal believer, really, that's not, you know, what we would expect. It's very, very funny when one time we were on a trip to Lebanon and we were seeing a bunch of people healed, and we were dialoguing with this group of fairly, you know, fairly devout Catholics, Maronites, and I wanted to know. I said, "Listen, you know, we're seeing healing, and I just like to know who can we go to that we could talk to about healing that you know in your church. You know, we wanted to find people that were doing it. You know, hey, we'd like to go and talk to them." And one of them thought about it for a minute, and he says, "The problem is that this is his response. I promise you, this was his response. The problem is that." In our church, most of the people that are healing today are dead. Like saints. And I'm like, yeah, that, you know, not to get into a theological debate here, but anybody that happens to be alive, you know, that was a dilemma for them. They're like, you know, we believe in miracles, and we just don't believe anybody living is doing them, you know? Somebody had to be dead for a couple of hundred years or whatever before they're starting. I'm seriously, that was his answer. It wasn't a joke, you know? Anyway, so we have to believe that healing is normal. And secondly, I think before we can ask the question of how we can see more happen, I think we have to start seeing something happen. So maybe you're past stage one, and maybe you're kind of in the stage two where, you know, okay, you need to start seeing healing, you know? And many of us in this room, that's kind of where we live. I mean, we got a vision for healing. We started praying for people. We started seeing people get healed. And there's times where we see a lot of stuff happen. There's times where maybe we see less. Usually it has everything to do with how often we're praying for people. But the fact is that I'd say that a lot of us in our community we're in that place where we have started seeing a measure of healing. Anyway, then after that, I think we got stage three, and then you can just keep going. Stage four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. And I think that this, to whatever level you want to get to, I think this is where we are seeing a different level of healing. So, you know, this is kind of where this guy came from. He's seeing regular healing. He's praying for people all the time. They live down in Oman. They're seeing all sorts of people healed, Muslims, Christians, Hindus. All the time they're seeing a lot of different healing. But so he's living in that place, but it's a certain level, a certain type of healing that they're seeing, you know? And really, then there's certain things that he's not seeing healed, or he's not seeing them healed very regularly. And so that was the question, is how can I get from, you know, where I'm at in stage two to stage three, or maybe he's stage three or four and he wants to get to stage five? Because in the kingdom, it's always about increase. It's always about more. I'm not saying that God, in some cases, he might have somebody level off and live in that place for the rest of their lives. But that would be, I think that would be something less than what his word intends. Because it talks about that the latter house will see greater glory than the former house. Jesus spoke about the works that I do used to do, and then there's greater works. I think that we see in the Word of God that the intention of God is that whatever you possess in the kingdom or whatever you've entered into, it is by design that it is to increase. Now, it's not to just increase, you know, why do I want to say willy-nilly here? It's not that it just increases without any reference to our lives. I think that God partners with us, and as we steward things and as we prove that we're faithful in things, and I'll get into some scriptures in a minute about that, that God will, he wants to see increase. Of course, because the purpose and the heart of God is that his glory and his kingdom would spread everywhere. And that means increase. I mean, even if you see 50 people healed a year, and in next year you don't see any new level of healing, but you see 100 healed, that would be increase. And that should satisfy us. I think where we would be maybe discouraged is, let's just say you're seeing 20 people a year healed that you've been praying for, and then next year it goes down to 10. And then after that it goes down to 5. I think that even if you didn't even ever get out of stage whatever, then it would still be God's will for you to just continue to see increase, because he wants the increase of his kingdom to forever be increasing. The Bible says that the increase of his kingdom will last forever and ever. That means that even in the eternal state, the kingdom of God will be increasing. I don't know how that works, because there won't be any loss to be won. There won't be any territory to be retaken. But somehow, the very nature of the kingdom, it is ever expanding. That means that you're never going to get bored in heaven. Basically what that means. I mean, if you want to ever answer that question, if the kingdom of God is going to continue to increase and we will continue forever to be going into greater and greater intimacy with God, you'll never get bored. So, I don't know about that heaven thing. Sounds so boring. You know? Anyway, that's not going to happen. So anyway, I have a couple of points, and I want to walk through these points. I have some scriptures. It's always good to have scriptures for the points. I think they were all scriptural when I gave them to the guys, but I also think that that when you have a scripture, it hits to something, it's just always better. Anyway, so the first thing that I said to them, and I don't think that necessarily my order is I would probably have reordered them, but this is the order they came in, so I'm going to give them the order I gave them this week. The first thing that you need, if you want to see greater healing, is that you need to grow in your ability to get revelation, or there needs to be more revelation given in situations. I had a situation this week. We were going to pray for a guy tonight. We didn't get to it because he had to change it. But I prayed for him this week, and I saw no breakthrough. He had an injury. He has an injury in his upper neck. He has an injury in his lower back, and he needs surgery in both places. And it was the result of an injury that he sustained in 2014 in a motorcycle accident. And so I said, okay, I want to get on the phone and I want to pray for you. So we got on. He's in another country. I prayed for him and I said, I want to check with you in 24 hours and see how it is. He came back to me, no change. Still in chronic pain, no change. So basically, my next step was, okay, I don't know why. I mean, you know, the Lord is free. I've been seeking the Lord this week and asking Him, Lord, really praying about the time that we were going to pray for him tonight. But what I was hoping for, if we would have got him on the phone, is a group of us would have gathered around and we would have asked the Lord for revelation to show us what we need to do and how we need to pray. And this is a key element. When you're just praying for stuff and you do not have revelation as to what the cause is, as to what the barrier is, it is very helpful. You know, we prayed for somebody last week, and if he wants to share his story, he can. But I'll just say this. There was revelation that came, and the revelation that came was the key to the healing that followed. Okay? So revelation is very, very important, you know. Learning how to either get revelation or getting around people who get revelation or bringing somebody into a place where they're going to get revelation. I mean, let's face it. You go to the normal doctor, the normal general practitioner, and he looks at your condition and he gives you something and it doesn't work. What do you do? I guess that's it. I guess that's God's will. No. You look then for a specialist, right? You look for somebody who actually has skills or gifts that person doesn't have. And then maybe you exhaust the level of specialization that we have here in this country. And then what do? You're on a plane to somewhere else. We understand this in the natural. Somehow, though, we'll pray for something once and then we just stop. Well, we prayed about it. Did you ever think that maybe there was somebody who carried a little bit more than you had? Or that somebody might get the key that you don't have or you don't know. And I can illustrate this from the very first time let me just say this. I don't want to jump to the story. I'll get to it in just a second. All this to say is that revelation increases faith. And faith, this is what I told these guys this week, faith, it's singular, but I'm going to make it plural. Faith are the tracks, because tracks is plural, on which the train of the kingdom moves. Everything in the kingdom operates on this principle of faith. Now, faith needs to be developed. Faith is a gift. We have our part. God has His part. But the fact of the matter is that if we lack something and we're not entering into something and we're not seeing breakthrough, the solution is that we see our faith increased. And when we see our faith increased, you know, then all of a sudden there's a shift. And I'll tell you that the way that you see faith increased many, many times is with revelation. Believe me, when I walk, when I got that word of knowledge this week for that student, and all of a sudden I knew where the problem was, it was no problem at all to dial the phone, give the phone to Natalie, and see that the healing happened. I would have been surprised had it not happened. God is not in the habit of giving us revelation to entertain us. He doesn't mind entertaining us at times, and it is entertaining when He heals people. But that's not what motivates Him to give us revelation to heal people. It's His heart. It's His mercy. It's who He is. One of His names is the healer. He can't help himself. He's committed to this. And so, if you want to know what your faith level is at, faith was this, you know, kind of concept that people talked about. And I never understood it until I felt like this helped me. Faith in any situation is what I expect to see happen. So, when I'm praying for certain conditions, I'm well within my range of faith because I've seen that condition healed dozens and dozens of times. It's surprising to me when a headache does not get healed, because we've seen so many headaches and migraines healed. It's surprising. I expect that. However, I don't have that same level of faith when it comes to stage 4 cancer. Now, one day I hope to, but right now I don't. Because I haven't seen nearly as much cancer healed as I have headaches healed. And so, in order to pray for things that we're not seeing, you know, in order to pray for things that we want to see breakthrough in, what we really need to do is we need to see our faith increased, and that often happens through revelation. Come in, welcome. So, let me just share a story how this happened for me when I was in Mexico a number of years ago. We were praying for this guy who was blind. And I'd never seen a blind person get healed, ever. But I was really interested in seeing blind people get healed because this girl in our church had gone to Brazil with Randy Clark, the guy who wrote this book that Oren and Subhash and I have been reading called Words of Knowledge. And I was so provoked. I'm like, she went on a mission trip and saw a blind eye open? Not just any kind of blind eye since birth. The biggest kind of blind eye healing. So anyway, this guy kind of wanders in. We're praying for the sick. And I'm like, this was 10, 11 years ago now. And I'm praying, and I'm with these teenage girls from Oklahoma that were just there to learn. They didn't, you know, none of us had. And then our translator had been a believer for a year. He's translating. So none of us had any faith for this. None of us had ever seen that, but we're just out praying for the sick in this village in Mexico. And a blind guy walks in. And so we prayed for this guy. And as we were praying, in the middle of the prayer, all of a sudden, a knife came into my eye. Into the eye that was blind. His eye corresponded. And right then, I just opened my eyes, and his name was Simon. Simon says, I said, Simon, you can see. And his eye opened. I have no faith for it. But what was the key? The revelation that came at that moment. Probably, if I think about it now, what really happened in the spiritual realm is that a gift of faith just was dropped into that place. And then, Natalie was with me that night. Natalie was not with me that afternoon, but Natalie was with me that night. And another woman came who was blind. And we're like so excited. We're like, oh, we saw this blind guy get healed today. And we're so excited to pray for you. And she's like, that's why I'm here. I heard about that. She found this meeting and her eye opened. Now, after that, our success with blind eyes dropped for years. But anyway, for that day, it was amazing. You know, we've seen a few subsequently. But the key is that revelation is what released the gift of faith in that situation. Anyway, I want to just share this this verse from Romans. Romans 12:6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us is to exercise them accordingly, if prophecy, according to the measure of his faith. So, I just want you to see here in Romans 12:6 that everything we do in the kingdom needs to be done in accordance with faith. Now, it's possible that somebody would walk in here tonight and not have a leg. Okay? Let's just say somebody walked in and they didn't have a leg. Now, I've heard of stories, but I have never, ever seen a leg regrow. Right? So it would be very, very, it would not be faith for me to say this guy comes in on his crutches with no leg if I just said, hey, your leg's going to grow out tonight. On what basis would I be saying that? I've never seen it happen. Now, if when he walked in and open vision opened up and we all saw his leg grow out and we're like watching it on the screen over here, that would be a totally different thing. Right? Totally different thing. That would be unbelievable. But anyway, we just keep dreaming for these things. Anyway, let me move on to the second point. So, the second way that we are going to see more healing happen is if we are faithful. You know? Okay, revelation is awesome because in those moments, you get something that you didn't, you know, it's like it's just a gift that drops in there. But if we are faithful in praying for the sick, And I'm thinking here of Hebrews 5:14, this verse that says, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, or another translation says, through constant use, have had their senses trained to discern good from evil. You see, how is it that this gifting that's being referenced in Hebrews chapter 5, how is it that this gift got somebody to a place of maturity? It's because they did it constantly. And I want to tell you, the people that see the most healing that I know are people that pray the most for the sick. They're always praying for the sick. And that means not, and if you happen to be a healing revivalist where you go from town to town and you have meetings where people come, you might be like Randy Clark. He goes to meetings and people show up. But for most of us, if we want to pray for the sick regularly, we're going to have to get our hands dirty outside the church, because none of us have public healing ministries where people just keep coming to us. So we're going to have to be like Jesus. Jesus would heal people as he went places. Of course, they would gather because they heard about what he did in the last place. But if you want to pray for the sick, you're going to have to take risks. And you're going to have to be willing to get it wrong. Today, I stopped a runner. Natalie and I were on a prayer walk this morning, and I stopped a guy. He ran by me on the running track by where we live, and I got a word of knowledge, I thought, in my knee. And I said, oh, I got to stop that guy. Anyway, so he circled around again. And then I'm like, hey, I stopped him, called him over. And I was completely wrong. But how would I have known, right? I actually, you know, I took a risk, you know? So anyway, he kept running. I was like, no, I don't have a knee problem. He's like, okay, bye. I didn't even tell him. I didn't feel the need to tell him that I completely blew it or missed it. I was going to tell you guys tonight.
Did you say God bless you at the end?
I know, because I said, may God heal you, and he said, God bless you back. Yeah, that was interesting. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll see him back. But anyway, so Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in little things will also be faithful in the big. I think that this teaching of Jesus is key to us. If you want... You know, a lot of people, that's the problem when you start praying for the sick and people know that you want to pray for the sick. People start taking you into terrible situations, like when you're like just starting out. Like when we got excited about healing, it was like, we're praying for headaches and shoulders and there things are happening. And they're like, can you go to the hospital and pray for this guy's arm to grow out? I know somebody who's been in a coma for like 5 years. Could you go visit them? That is a little bit like you just start jogging, right? You just a little bit, and you can run a little bit, and all of a sudden, people are trying to put you in the Boston Marathon. Okay? And that was actually good. Thank God we had learned some things, because I would have gotten discouraged. When I first started praying for the sick back in the 90s, I read a book about healing, and I started praying for people, and two people that I prayed for died. Now, they didn't die while I was praying for them. They were dying, and they didn't live. But because they died, I stopped praying for the sick. I got discouraged because I should have started out with small things and started exercising my faith before I was going in like, well, I read a book on healing, you know. The devil loves it when Christians read a book, you know, one book, and they're just like, that guy's read a book. He's dangerous. The devil's like, I've been taking out people who read the one book for hundreds of years. They read one book, they know nothing about nothing, and the devil can take you out faster than you can say, you know, the next guy. I mean, honestly, I had no mentors. I stopped praying for the sick for probably 10 years after that. I was so discouraged because two people died. You know? So, if we are faithful, a guy like Todd White, the reason that guy sees so much healing is because he is absolutely relentless to pray for the sick. So if you want to see more, pray for more. And I believe that if you are faithful in the little things, I believe that when I got a wrong word of knowledge today, and I stopped a guy while he was running, that's not usually my MO to stop people, especially if they're running, right? Stopping, running, hey, come here, right? But I honestly think that by doing that, that was actually a step in faithfulness. That's what it entails. You know? He didn't say pray for the sick only when you get it right or only when you see breakthrough. He wants us to be faithful if we want to see more. All right. I'm gonna try to move a little bit more quickly. There is a difference, too, between healing and miracles. And sometimes we can forget this or we lose sight of this. I believe that healing is promised. It's in the atonement. Talks about Isaiah. He carried our sicknesses and he bore our diseases. And Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah, and by his stripes we are healed. We have a basis in the kingdom to see people healed on the basis of what Jesus did when he came to earth. Part of what Jesus did was he provided something so that people can get healed. It's not just God's heart. He paid a price and he provided something. There is a bank account called healing that you can access and bring healing to people on the basis of what Jesus has provided. And that is why in the kingdom we're commanded to heal the sick and we're commanded to cast out devils. However, when it comes to the realm of miracles that go beyond healing, you know, that's where we have to understand, and I'm going to show you this. I'll just read the verse in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul writing, he talks about, now concerning the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand these things. This is 1 Corinthians 12:1. I want you to understand these things. Verse 4, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, or a message of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the one Spirit, and to another the performing of miracles. Do you see here in verses 9 and 10 that the gift of healing and the gift of miracles are two different gifts? And by definition, miracles are rare. You know? Resurrections are rare from the dead. So we need to understand that, you know, we go after stuff, and there are things that fall into the realm of miracles. All right? And I think that when we begin to move into that realm, or we want to pray into the realm of miracles, we really need that first part of Revelation very, very... It doesn't mean we don't pray, but I remember the first time I was in Cambodia with Randy Clark, the only time I've ever been to Cambodia, but I was with Randy Clark in Cambodia, and we were praying for a guy who was literally this tall. Okay? And it was, I mean, I'm going to describe what we did, and I you can laugh because it sounds a little funny. So we were holding him in the air, up in the air, by his arms. And we were saying, we were asking God or commanding his legs to grow down to the ground. You can just imagine, like a cartoon. Like we're holding this guy who is literally 2 feet tall. He had no legs. He is a little, you know. And we had him in the air. And we were literally asking that his legs would go down to the ground. Did we have any vision from heaven or anything? I knew nothing about nothing. He had come for prayer, and I don't know why we had him in the air. There's a lot I don't remember. It was just kind of like you, it is funny, Jemima. I mean, we laughed about it afterwards for a long time. But you know what? For this guy to have grown from 2 feet tall to 6 feet tall would have been in the realm of a radical miracle, unlike most anything anybody's ever even heard of. Okay? We did not have any kind of revelation. We didn't come into the meeting. I saw this 2 foot guy grow to 6 feet. Nothing. We were just praying after that stuff. We saw many people healed that night, but that man's legs did not grow out. However, one of the guys that I traveled with in his early ministry, I'm just going to share the story. You can follow it up. His name's James Maloney. He's written a bunch of books. But he was in India in his early ministry, and a gift of faith came over him, and there was, I don't know if it was a man or a child or somebody who had no legs. And literally, he said to his associate who was on his ministry team dropped the child. And as he dropped the child, the legs came out and the child began to run. Now, if I did not sit across the lunch table with James and tell me that again, you saw what? And because I know the man, I believe his integrity, but this would have fallen into the realm of miracles. Like throw the child? You know, I can't even believe I'm recording this, you know. But anyway, God, I mean, this would have constituted a greater work, right? This is a miracle. So I just want us to understand that maybe it's not. Yeah, I think it is. I think we need to understand that there is a difference between healing and miracles. Whereas healing is promised and it's in the atonement, I think when it comes to the realm of miracles, there's a different gift in operation and there's a different level of revelation. And then at the very end of that passage in 1 Corinthians, it says, but one and the same Spirit is active in all of these gifts, distributing to each person according to his will. And this is another point in this thing, is that if we want to see greater healing, we need to also understand that God's sovereignty is into this. His sovereignty mixes into this. It says we pursue these gifts. These gifts are given, but then it says the Spirit who gives these gifts distributes them individually according to His will. And this is important because in the parable of the talents, has anybody ever read the parable of the talents? We know it. What bothers us about the parable of the talents? What bothers us is if we're all equal, we're all egalitarian, everybody gets the same thing, and Jesus is giving one person more than another person. How dare he? Doesn't he know about equality? But in the parable of the talents, you get a reward for what you do with what you're given, but not everybody is given the same things. Are we okay with that? I don't know why God gives one person more than another, but I thought about some of the reasons. It could be character. Why would God give somebody more than they can handle if their character is not going to handle giving them more? If somebody cannot handle money, I don't think that God is going to bless them with millions and millions of Katie or dollars. That would not be a wise father. Hey, I've got this son. He's terrible with money, so I'm just going to keep giving it to him. We'd call that a stupid God. Not a wise father, a stupid God. That would be stupid God, right? To give somebody something that they're going to misuse, hurt themselves, and hurt people with would be completely stupid. But we know that God Himself is the incarnation of wisdom. And so I understand that some people are going to get more than others based on who they are. What does the Bible say? This verse came to me as I was preparing this. I didn't get the reference, but it's two times in the New Testament. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, let's just break down that verse for a minute. If you are proud, God is opposing you. Welcome to you're not going to get a lot done. The Holy Trinity Himself opposes you when you're proud. That's what the Bible says. I believe it. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you want to see greater breakthrough in the area of healing, I think in this whole area, I think that character matters. And that I think that if we want to see the greatest breakthroughs, we would do well to say whatever it's going to take to grow in humility. Grace is given to the humble. Do you know that the word grace is the same word that's used for spiritual gifts? If you want more gifting from God, then you need to grow in humility. You know, one Indian guy, it's great, he comes to America and he says, you know, Americans are real funny. As an American, he says, Americans are really funny. They want humility, but they think that humility comes without humiliation. I mean, I don't feel good. Hey, come over here. You got a knee problem? No? Okay. Yeah, thanks. See you later. That's not the happy pill moment. Hey, do you have something wrong? No. You know? I'm going to pray, Lord, may me taking a risk and getting it wrong, may that have increased in some measure humility in my life, because I want more later. We've got to be willing, you know? Humble myself, that great song, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up, right? So anyway, I also think there's other reasons why. I've just thought about this. Could be timing. I'll tell you right now, there were times when miracles happened and the whole city was up in flames. Other times, it led to a revival. So there are times, there's timing as well in God's sovereignty. There's safety, you know. There's also interdependence. You know, we've talked about that before. God wants us interdependent. He doesn't want one person to have the whole package. So, you know, be amazing. In this city, let's just say that there's somebody with stage 4 cancer. How beautiful would it be if God had to bring together 3 groups of believers, 3 different churches, to gather together, interdependence, bringing all of their gifts into that situation to see the breakthrough. You know? Instead of just using one person in one place. So, I think there's a lot of reasons why God distributes gifts the way He does and operates the way He does. And a lot of it's mystery. Anybody ever ask a question from God and He didn't give you an answer? He's not obligated to. He actually, there's a lot of times He doesn't give us answers. You know? We're going to go to our deathbed with a lot of questions. You know? Anyway, another point. We need to create an atmosphere of healing. Like even in here tonight, God's going to heal people. We're going to pray for some stuff and God's going to heal people. And I've written down some words of knowledge, some things that God's highlighted that He wants to do. But I'll tell you right now, if we were going to look at the conditions or the situations in this room that we'd like to get healed, it would be to our advantage that we wait to pray for the serious things and we start with the smaller things and we build the faith. And I tell you, when I've been in meetings and all of a sudden this is happening and this person gets healed and another person gets healed and another word of knowledge, and then all of a sudden there's an expectancy in the room, much more happens in healing meetings at the end than happens in the beginning. And everybody that I've ever heard of that does healing ministry will honor this principle, that you see corporate atmosphere of faith raised in a room, and you will see more happen with a corporate level of faith higher than in the beginning of a meeting. Oftentimes, I will say, if somebody comes to me and say, hey, this person, you know, they need a knee replacement, or, you know, they need a creative miracle. It's like, hey, listen, I want to pray for that, but can we just keep praying for some other stuff? And why don't you stick with me and we'll see some healing together and watch what God does. And then we will wait on Him and see what happens later on. You know, maybe it's just me just saying, I'm scared to death right now to pray for that. It's probably not going to happen. Right now, my faith level is really low. So whatever it takes, you know, to be honest, let's just wait until there's a different level. And you know what you see in the scripture? In both Mark 6 and Matthew 13, I'm not sure if it was also in I just saw the 2 references, where even in Jesus' hometown, it says He could do no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Now, a bad day for Jesus, of course, the verse goes on to say, all He could do is heal the sick. That was a bad day for Jesus. No mighty miracles. But the corporate unbelief in the atmosphere of His own hometown was such that it limited in the economy of God and the kingdom what could happen in that time. So, that's another key to breakthrough. That's why we bring people to meetings where things are happening. You know, maybe we pray. Like, I did that this week. I prayed, and it's like, I didn't see any breakthrough. All right, we're going to get the team together. We're going to go again. And guess what? If it doesn't happen, we're going to go after it in another way. I'm not going to stop. A sixth way that we can go after more and see breakthrough is that we go after this thing that we understand that's called impartation. This is 1 Timothy 4:14, where Paul's writing to Timothy, and he tells Timothy, don't you neglect the gift that is in you, in your life. How? Through the laying on of hands. All right? God also is involved in the leadership of this and stuff, but I want to tell you, if you get serious about wanting to see healing increased in your life, then you are going to start traveling or getting around other people and saying, I want you to lay hands on me. I want to see. I want to associate. Impartation happens through association, but it also happens through literal prayer, through prophetic words. But I'm telling you right now, if you get around people that are seeing healing, you will see healing. And if you get around people that God in His sovereignty has commissioned with an apostolic release, an ability to impart. Why did I go meet Randy Clark? Because the guy who ordained me said, listen, you need to meet this guy. He lays hands on people and they get an impartation and miracles happen after he prays for them. Now, not everybody, but again, it's under the sovereign direction of God. So we flew to Las Vegas. It's my story. Most people go to Vegas. You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I went to Vegas so that what happened in Vegas would not stay in Vegas, that it would go everywhere else. Never said that before. That was a good point, though, you know. It didn't just stay in Vegas. He laid hands on me, and I started getting words of knowledge after that. And then the people that we run with, they started getting words of knowledge. And many of you get words of knowledge. And I really look back and I say, we got an impartation. We corporately got an impartation from Randy Clark in, I think it was probably 2004, 2003 or 4 is when it happened. And you know what? When you're given something, then God says, I want you to steward it. I want you to use it. I want you to give it away. I want you to teach on it. Even now, this week, or we've been reading, just reviewing words of knowledge. I'm not settling. I'm not settling where I'm at. I want more. So, the last thing, because one of the guys that I'm kind of mentoring in this way, even after I said all this stuff, he's like, he's just hungry. This kid is hungry. He's young, you know. He's just hungry. And I was listening. Did any of you listen to that Randy Clark interview that I shared this week? I would encourage you to listen to it. If you did not, listen to the link I put in our WhatsApp group. Listen to it because he talks about miracles that you will have a hard time believing have happened in this century. Because Michael Brown asked him in the interview, so Randy, you've been healing the sick for 35 years or something crazy like that, 30 years now, more than 30 years, you've been seeing healing. What are the most dramatic healings you've ever seen? And all of a sudden, he's sharing the most amazing. He's prayed for thousands, and he's sharing the highlights. You want to get stirred up after that? You know, it was after I heard that I prayed for this guy. Nothing happens. But then I heard the Randy Clark message. I'm like, no way. We got to get him into the meeting on Friday night. We're not going to settle. You know? And because I've heard some testimonies that really stirred me up. Well, I'll let you guys. I mean, okay, I'll tell one that he shared. He talked because we saw something similar to this. Somebody who was deaf was healed. The person had no inner ear. Nothing there. I mean, there was an ear on the outside of the ear, but there was nothing inside. There was nothing to get healed. It needed to be a totally creative miracle. Another case of stage 4 cancer in Brazil, where the reason they prayed for 45 minutes for the woman was because they had a vision of the tumor disappearing. You see, revelation, a gift of faith came 45 minutes, and the tumor just kept shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, and she was healed of stage 4 cancer in a meeting. How many of us would still pray for 45 minutes? Just keep praying and praying and praying. We need the revelation, right? So he shared these two. You can hear the details, but the just some crazy stuff that we need to hear that kind of stuff. But that brought up the last point that this guy, my mentoree, if I can call him that, is he's desperate. He was even calling me out. He's like, sounds to me like you're kind of like, when you say that maybe maybe there's just things that God doesn't, won't give you because of character or, you know, whatever. You know, he's actually calling me out. He's like, sounds to me like you're kind of limiting God. Why can't we be like Jesus? Why do I have to settle for maybe I won't have the character? Why can't I just be like Jesus? I'm like, okay, I'm getting real convicted by what you're saying. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, he's desperate. And you know, I'll tell you right now, you look in the life of Jesus, people that take roofs off of houses to lower their friend into the house to get healed, people that do crazy things. I mean, some of you remember When we were burying, we were at the funeral of one of our team members. You remember that. Some of you remember back in the day. We were at her funeral. And they took her body, because they're bringing her body from the morgue to the cemetery. But the guys who drove the hearse, the car, they didn't know which cemetery to take her to, because there's a Shiite, there's a Sunni, and we were in the Christian cemetery. So they took her to the wrong cemetery. So we get word, like, we're all there at the grave waiting to put the body in the thing. And we find out that the guys don't know how to get to the cemetery. So one of the guys who's there is getting in a car to go and get the guys to bring the body. So guess what a couple of our community wanted to do? Ride with the body. Are you guys connecting the dots here? Resurrecting the dead. Like, how are we going to get a chance? I mean, literally, so they went and they got the body, and they got in the back of the car with the body, and they prayed the whole way. And she's thinking, we're just imagining. Can you imagine what would have happened if she showed up? She didn't come back to life. But what would have happened had she come to her funeral alive? After she'd been in the freezer. She was in the morgue, in the freezer. I mean, you know what? That sounds crazy. But do you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10? Raise the dead. We have a verse. I mean, you need a Bible verse to do everything in life? Raise the dead is there.
Tell the Cambodian one.
When I was in Cambodia, I meet this man and this woman, and he was raised from the dead. He was dead for 12 hours. And revival broke out in his village. And I'd never met anybody who, you know, and actually you went to their house, right? Yeah. So it's amazing to meet somebody who is dead and now they're alive. And I wanted to hear the story, and I'm hearing their story and stuff like this. Well, he was dead for 12 hours, and his wife and another woman prayed over his dead body for 12 straight hours until he came back to life. Now, I don't know if they had a revelation or something, but anyway, they were... Yeah, she was pretty desperate to get her husband back. Like, I'm not going through life without this guy. She prayed for 12 hours. Well, this is the crazy thing. I mean, you know, how do you know he was dead? You know, it's like, well, you know, when somebody's dead and the body's like in the rigor mortis and stuff, you know, I mean, there's signs when somebody's dead, right? So the person's dead. Everybody knew that that he was dead. When he came back to life, he went out on the street of his house, or where he lived in this poor slum, and he walked down the street, and everybody was running into their houses and locking the doors. Thought it was a ghost. He got so scared, he ran home. He's like, there's a ghost. It's like, you're the ghost. And revival broke out in his village. And I mean, it's, you know. Yeah, the whole village. All these Buddhists became Christians because he rose from the dead. Now, anyway, so the last point is desperation. Randy Clark, in this interview, he talks about when he got desperate about, you know, I'm tired of seeing people die of cancer. You know, raise your hand if that's you. I've seen too many people. And I just got another diagnosis. One of my buddies just buried his wife. We were praying for her. She died of brain cancer. I've had two other friends die of brain cancer. And now we just heard that one of my former pastors, his wife now has brain cancer. I'm done with brain cancer. Somebody's got to see this rock move. I don't know how it totally works, but I believe somehow all of the intercession that we put into those other accounts and we didn't see breakthrough, that we can just transfer it also to a new account called Breakthrough in 2017. So, anyway, Randy went into like an extended fast, you know? There's signs that when you're desperate, you do things differently. I'll tell you right now, desperation is a key element. And this guy down in Oman, this guy that my mentoree, you know why he's seeing so much healing? And he's desperate. He's asking questions. I told him, I said, get up here. Come up here. Let's do stuff together. Like, he's so hungry, he'll get on a plane. You know? Some people think, you're crazy. Get on a plane to go learn about healing? People get on a plane to go on vacation. People get on a plane for all sorts of reasons. But in the kingdom, we're crazy if we get on a plane because we want to go grow in healing. You know? I'll tell you right now, Some of desperate people find things in the kingdom. Desperate people rip roofs off of buildings, lower their friend, and get to the front of the line. Desperate women come to Jesus, even though he talks about throwing bread to the dogs. Like he really insulted the Syrophoenician woman. And you know anything about the word dog in the Middle East? You know, but she's like, don't even dogs get the crumbs from the master's table? Talk about a woman who is desperate. Right? And what happened? She overcame. I mean, I think that's right in there just to say, you know what? It can be really bad. There can be some really bad things that you're going to experience or be told. And guess what? If you press through that, you're going to see breakthrough. And so, just in closing, as I'm just going to land this thing, my final charge in this message was, if you're going to err in any way in healing, err going for more than God was going to give you. Don't err for less. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just say that you're satisfied with headaches and shoulder pain and maybe a sprained ankle. And you've been living there. And you know what? Don't err in your life. If you're going to make an error and you're going to live your whole life, get to heaven and find out that God is saying, listen, you really wanted to get to stage 12, but, you know, I kept you at stage 11. Err going for stage 12. Don't err and find out that there was actually 20 levels that God wanted to give you and would have given you if you would have stayed like this. You know, get to the end of your life and hear God say, hey, you were a little bit too anxious. You were expecting a little bit too much. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because I think that expecting too much and believing God was even greater than everybody else thought he was, and that he wanted to heal even more people than everybody else believed, I think that that's going to bring a reward. I think the regret's going to come for people that get up there and realize, I didn't enter into half of what God intended me to enter into. And I don't care where you're at in your life. I don't care if you're 25 or 55. Draw a line in the sand and say, from this day forward, I'm going forward after more in the realm of healing. And if you want some ideas about how you could do that or some practical ways, there's a few of us that have some suggestions. Let me just close us in prayer from this message. So, Father, I pray that each and everything that I've shared tonight from your word and these principles that I believe are solid, and I believe that you taught them to others and you've taught them to us and we've lived them out, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would solidify and that you would seal these things, that you would sear these things in the hearts of each person present tonight, that we would not settle for anything less than literally the ministry of Jesus. That we would just be hungry and go after it and find out, okay, maybe I didn't get to 100% of what, you know, but I got to 80%. Whatever it is, whatever is possible, I pray that we would go after it. And I pray these things.